Welcome to the Vineyard Church of Greater Portland podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by our guest speaker. For more podcasts and other resources, please visit www.vineyardportland.org.
This will be the last week that I do announcements and the message in the same morning, which will be great. This morning, we are going to be talking about our final, we're going to be going through the final message in the series, the Kingdom series that we've been going through over the last couple weeks. And this message is entitled Kingdom Responsibility. Kingdom Responsibility. So the first week we went through Kingdom Value and understanding what our value is and who gives us our value and how that's realized through what Jesus paid for us, what God paid for us. We realized what our value is by how much we were paid for, right? And God sent his son to pay the ultimate price for us. So we understand our value through that death. And then last week, understanding our value, we moved to this idea of inheritance, and in the sense that when we put our faith in Jesus, we become sons and daughters. And because of the fact that we have become sons and daughters, we now have an inheritance. And that inheritance in the future is heaven. But right now, that inheritance on the earth is the Holy Spirit. So if we put our faith in Jesus and we are called sons and daughters, guess what that means? We have an inheritance, and that inheritance is the Holy Spirit living inside of us. So if we are in that place this morning, we have a responsibility now. We have a responsibility now that we realize we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. So the main point is this morning. What do we do with what we have received as an inheritance? What do we do with what we have received as an inheritance? Because God has given us an inheritance this morning, and that is the Holy Spirit. We talked about that last week. But I don't think he has given us this inheritance and this Holy Spirit for us just to kind of like live life like holding on to it as tight as possible. We have been given something as an inheritance, not so that we can just sort of hold on to it as much as we can. We have been given an inheritance to do something with. It's not enough to acknowledge that, yes, God, you have given me an inheritance, and that is the Holy Spirit. And then we continue to live life with that mindset. We can't live our life with the mindset of, like, we've been given something, but yet we're not going to do anything with it. So God could have waited to give us the Holy Spirit. But he didn't. He could have given us all this when we talked about in Revelation 21 last week, right? When everything comes to an end, the consummation comes, the new heaven and the new earth come, and they come together. He could have given us this whole entire inheritance then. He could have if he wanted to, but he didn't. Why didn't he? Because we have a responsibility to take this inheritance and do something with it. And you're probably wondering, all right, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do, given the reality of this new inheritance that I have been given through the Holy Spirit? I'll tell you what you're supposed to do. 1 Corinthians 14, Paul says this. He exhorts the Corinthian church to eagerly pursue the spiritual gifts given to us by the Holy Spirit. That is what we are supposed to do. That is our responsibility this morning. See, all of us have been given a gift. All of us have been given at least one gift at least one gift. And for many of us, we've been given more than one gift. And sometimes some of the gifts may be more primary than others. Sometimes we feel like, well, we're really good at this, but we're not so great at that, but there's still gifts being given to each and every one of us. And Paul says in Romans that these gifts are irrevocable. Romans 11, these gifts that the Spirit has given us as the church, as an inheritance through the Holy Spirit, are irrevocable. What does that mean? They can't be taken away. They can't be taken away, they can't be changed, and they can't be reversed. So guess what? You are stuck with your gift. You are stuck with your gift. These gifts that the Holy Spirit has given us through our inheritance are yours. They're yours to possess. They are yours to figure out. It is our responsibility to discover and realize what the gifts are that the Holy Spirit has put inside of us this morning. It is our responsibility. And you might be saying to yourself, I already have enough responsibility in my life. I got a job, I've got kids, I've got a marriage to tend to, I've got family to tend to, I've got friends to tend to. Yes, that too. I have finances to attend to. I have the everyday workings of life that I have responsibilities for, you know? I got all these things that I need to, like, attend to. And now you're telling me, Chad, that I got another one? Yep, you do. Yes, you do. See, our responsibility this morning is to live in an intimacy with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Yeah. Live in intimacy with the Holy Spirit, which means become and get as close to Him as you can. Amen. And it is in that process where we will begin to understand this idea of spiritual gifts that He has given us. So it is our responsibility this morning to figure out and to realize what it is that God has given us through the Holy Spirit for gifts. So the first thing we have to do is figure out, well, what are they? If you're sitting here this morning, you're like, all right, well, I'm a son or a daughter of the King. I have an inheritance. You told me my inheritance is the Holy Spirit. Now you're telling me that I have to figure out and pursue the spiritual gifts that He's given me. Well, how am I supposed to do that? Well, the first thing we need to do is figure out what they are. So if you don't know what they are, we're going to review for really quick what they are. And I'm going to spend the bulk of the time this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So if you guys have your Bibles, your iPads, your iPhones, your Androids, if you must, those are allowed, I guess, in here. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you're taking notes. This is what Paul says to the church in Corinth, starting in verse 4. He says, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. Now, I'm going to run through these spiritual gifts real quick, and I want you to think to yourself in your mind this morning, what resonates with me when we start talking about the list of gifts, okay? So think about this in your brain right now. What resonates with me when I hear this? Because some things will, some things won't. Okay, so he says, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives faith to another, and to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. So if you have that this morning and you have a problem with what I'm saying, come and talk to me. Still another person is given the ability to speak in an unknown language, what we call tongues, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gifts each person gets. So guess what? You're stuck with your gift. So the first thing I really want to highlight about this passage is that there is a diversity in the church that we must pursue. Okay? The church is meant to be a diverse group of people in the sense that there are all kinds of gifts that the Holy Spirit has given each and every one of us. And what he gives Deb isn't what he gives Jim, or what he gives me isn't, you know, what he gives Deb, or whatever the case may be. But there's all these different types of gifts that are available to us that he has given us in the church. So we, by nature, as a church body, are diverse. We are not all the same. We all work in our own gifting. We all have our own skill set. And God wants to highlight that for each and every one of us this morning. Wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discernment, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues. He also goes on to say in the same chapter, a little bit further down, he says, these are some other ones: teaching, helping, administrating. Think about these things. Are these resonating with you? Teaching, helping, administrating. This is not an exhaustive list, okay? This isn't just all of the gifts that there are available. There are more, because Paul never really qualifies it and says, well, this is all there is. But he's listing some of them off that are available and that have been given to us. He also says in Romans 12, here are some other ones: exhortation, generosity, leadership, mercy, cheerfulness. I know Todd Paddock has the gift of cheerfulness. I know. I can see it all over him. And he knows it, and he walks in it. And it encourages and edifies and builds the church because of that. So these are the list of gifts. Even though they're not the exhaustive list, they are a list. And there are others. This is what we need to be pursuing as individuals in this church. Let's move on. 1 Corinthians, keep going. Chapter 12, verse 12. So after he goes on and talks about all the gifts, this is what he says. The human body has many parts, and this is sort of how he ties this in from a visual perspective. Paul needs to use something to get them to understand what he's trying to say. So he says, the human body, he's saying, it's like the human body, has many parts. But the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. I am a part of the body because I am, you know, a foot can't say to the body, I am not a part of the body because I am not a hand. That does not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear says, I am not part of the body because I am not an eye, would that make it any less part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if the whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have been made up of many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it was only one part. It would cease to be a body. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. So again, he's talking about this idea of diversity. There's a sense of unity in the body through our diversity. because we're not all the same thing. We all have different parts. We are all different members, different parts, but of one body. So there's unity in diversity. We are all diverse in our own way, but yet we come together and are unified when we are doing this. Because in Corinth, the church had a problem. Well, it had a lot of problems. Just like us, we got a lot of problems, but we work it out. But they had a lot of problems. And one of their problems was they loved to compare each other to one another. And what Paul is saying here, he's addressing a certain mindset that's been developed in the church. And it's this. It's this idea that we look at our gifting as not good as somebody else's. We can't say as the hand, the body doesn't need me. We can't say that. Because people were sort of creating classes and levels of spirituality based on the gifts that they had been given. So the people who felt like they had a higher spiritual gift would relegate the people that they felt didn't have as high of a spiritual gift to some other class. They were segregated. They were sort of ostracized, even though they were part of the church. They were looked at as less than. So these people were dealing with this a mindset of like, well, I don't have that gift, so that must mean that, you know, the body really doesn't need me. And Paul's saying, you can't do that. You are all part of one body. It doesn't matter what your gift is. The Holy Spirit has given you the gifts. Work and walk in the gifts, because without it, the body suffers. Let's go on. 22. In fact, some parts of the body that seem the weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable and those are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require the special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. He's addressing this mindset now. He's saying to the people who are segregating others, he's saying to you, listen, don't look at yourself as being overly spiritual because you have this gift. You can't segregate yourself from the rest of the body because you feel you are more spiritually empowered than the rest of the people that you are in the body with. Because if you begin to do that, the body will lack. The body will suffer. The body will not be as healthy as it could be, as it should be, as the way it's designed to be by the Holy Spirit. We have to be united with one another. We have to live in unity through our diversity. We have to look at the gifts we possess and look at them with the same value as we look at others and their gifting and what they possess. Because some of us are really good at exhorting one another. And some of us are really good at being generous. And some of us are good at administrating. And some of us aren't. So if we have a church of a bunch of good administrators but no good teachers, that's not going to work. And if we have a bunch of good teachers but we got no one to plan anything, that's not going to work either. We need the full range of the gifts in the church so the church can be as healthy as possible. And that so we're fulfilling our call that God has given us for one another and for the community that we live in. And this is why we need one another. It is so important for us to discover and realize the spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit has been placed on us, because if we don't do that, the church will lack. So now you're saying to yourself, all right, all these gifts are available to me, and I know what they are. So how do I know what I have? I'll give you a couple, three really quick ways to try and figure that out. Because there's nothing in Scripture that really explicitly says, do this to figure out the gifts that you've been given. The first thing I would say to you is if you don't understand and don't know what your spiritual gift is or gifts are, the first thing you should do is ask God for them. Pray. Get alone with him and say, Lord, what have you gifted me with? Go through the Scripture and read all the gifts and go, Lord, which one of these are mine? Because I want to use them. You have created me to use them. Give me vision to understand what you have gifted me with. Another really practical thing that we can do is we can ask ourselves what we're good at. Just have a conversation with yourself. Like, what am I good at? And how can I use that to benefit the church? What am I good at? It doesn't have to be overly complicated. You know, you look at your life, you look at yourself, you look at the way you were created, the way God created, and you go, what am I good at? I can do that in the church. And the last thing I would say, is if you don't know what it is, just serve. Just do something. Seriously. There's so many things and things that we can do as a church if people would just be like, I'll do that. Like, when I first came to this church, within 2 months, I was asked to help with teen church. Within the first 2 months of me being here, I didn't have a clue what the heck I was doing. Seriously. I didn't have a clue. But I was asked to do that. And I said, all right, sure. I'm sure someone knows what they're doing in there. I guess I'll help out. You know, and do whatever, you know. And that was like in 2002. That's how long I've been here. 2002, I started here, and I was there. I was in that room in 2 months. In 2 months, because I said yes. God didn't speak to me about being a teen church helper. He didn't. He didn't. I just said yes, and there I was. And then fast forward 4 years later, 2004-ish, I started leading the youth group here on Friday nights. And then after Shannon and I got married, another 2 years later, we were approached by Mario and Ruth to take on the youth ministry and oversee the whole thing. And so we did that. But it started with me just saying yes to something, and I didn't necessarily feel like I was called to. I mean, I just said yes. And then God sort of gave me that calling and the gifting in the process. You know what I mean? So if you're unsure about what your spiritual gift is, my point this morning is that you just serve and do something because you don't know where it's going to take you. You really don't. See, it's really interesting. Sometimes God speaks to us about our spiritual gifting really like clearly, like audibly, like, this is what I want you to do. This is who you are, and this is where I want you within the church context and outside the church context. But sometimes he gives you the gift while you're doing it. So he develops sometimes the gifting in you as you just take a step and say, yes, I'll do that. So it works both ways. So if you feel like you're not getting this audible, like, Lord, coming down, being like, this is what you should do, because that didn't happen to me, then my advice would be just go do something. Just go do something. So why is it important that we discover our spiritual gifts? This is the main point. Because no one is obsolete. No one is obsolete this morning, and everyone in this place this morning right now, if you can hear my voice, is necessary to the outworking of the church in this community. And who we are as a church. Everyone is necessary. No one is obsolete. No gifting is better than the next. The Holy Spirit decides to give gifts to who he wants, when he wants, for whatever reason. And like I said, you're stuck with your gift. Not all of us are prophets or teachers or helpers. Some of us are great at administrating or planning. And that's why we need one another. We live a community life this morning. We live a community life with one another, discovering our gifting to build up and encourage one another in the church. And why do we do this? We do this because we want to see transformation in the church and in the community in which we serve. That are the two primary goals of us figuring out what our spiritual gifts are. If we can figure out why God has put us here, the spiritual gifting he has on us, then we will be able to encourage and build up one another and allow for personal transformation to happen in this church. But not only that, that will cause personal transformation in the community as we do it in the church. Because I'm not good at a lot of things. I'm good at some things, but I'm not good at a lot of things. Like last night, I was sitting down here during night of worship, and Allison Ellis came up to me and said, gave me this crazy vision of what she saw, in her mind when praying for me, when we were praying for one another. And she sent it to me this morning, and I said to myself, oh my gosh, like this vision she had was just insane. Like this is something that she has. It's a gift that she has. I don't have that. I can't look at someone and pray for them and be like, I see all this stuff going on. But she does. She has this gift of being able to visualize something that God has put in her mind about somebody and explain it. See, she has that. Other people don't have that, but that's okay because other people have different things that maybe she doesn't have or I don't have. And that is the reason why we are in this together as a church and we are unified in our diversity. All right, time for my illustration. Yeah, I gotta finish up here. Okay, so often in life, we kind of live life like this. You guys know what these are, right? These are like king in my household. All day long. We kind of live life like this. We're all these kind of different parts. We're all created differently. We all have a different size, shape, color. You know, there's really no parts in here that are the same. They're all different. You look at this, it's like a brown circle piece, but that goes to something. I don't know what, but this gray piece goes to something. But I don't know what. But so often we live life in the church like this. We're separated. We're individual pieces. We're not connected to one another. It's so easy because of our attitudes, behaviors, mindsets, life, schedules, to be like, I'm just going to exist in this church like this. When God wants us to live, oh boy, like this. This is how God wants us to live as the church. Every piece, even though it's different, it has different colors, shapes, sizes. There's like some really cool things this thing does. I don't know what Jackson would know, but I don't know. Door pops off or something. Yeah. There we go. This is how we're supposed to live as the church. We are all different in our shapes, colors, sizes, gifting, you know, how God has created us, the life experiences that we bring. They all form and fashion us differently than one another. But what happens is when we develop and discover our spiritual gift, we begin to find the place in the body. And each part, even though it's different, works together to create a beautiful artistic expression. I mean, for some people, they'll look at it and be like, eh, whatever. But for Lego designers and engineers, they look at this like, wow, that's amazing. Because someone had to put this together. Someone had to actually design this. That Jackson put it, constructed it, but someone actually had to design this so that it could be put together. And God is this designer that is taking each person and their gift and fashioning it and forming it and allowing, oh no, allowing us to grow in it so that when we come together, we look like this, right? And not like this. We're not supposed to look like this. We're supposed to look like that. Ben, can you bring that up real quick, that slide? The Lego one. Okay, so you're probably thinking to yourself, how the heck did you come up with this? Well, it's really strange because God speaks to me in the strangest ways. He speaks to me most of the time when I'm doing absolutely nothing spiritual. I'm serious. Like, reading, praying, great, it's all great. You know, I'm not trying to downplay it. It's important. I'm in this, you know, don't hear me wrong. But he speaks to me so much when I'm just like not doing anything that's focused on him. It's so weird. That's maybe a way he's just designed me. I don't know. So this summer, we went to California and we went to Legoland. And there's this little part in Legoland that you get to go in and it shows you how Legos are built. It tells you the whole story about how Legos are built. And this is what it said on one of the signs when you're walking around. It says this, check this out. One of the key features of Lego bricks throughout their history is that they are first and foremost part of a system. Each new series and set that is released is compatible with the rest of the system. And this is the key right here. Lego pieces, regardless of their size, shape, or function, get this, fit together with all other pieces in some way. The gear and motor mechanisms that come with the most advanced Technic series designed for teenagers can also be effortlessly, you know, used in other, you know, sets. So I read this and I'm like, God says to me, this is what it's like in the kingdom. And I said, what? Are you serious? This is what it's like in the kingdom. We are a bunch of Lego pieces. And it is our job and responsibility to realize what God has gifted us with so that we can be a part of this. Are you with me? So what is the result if this is the reality and not that? Ephesians 4:16 says this. Ben, do you have that? He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, sound familiar? It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. That is what we're after right there. That is what we're after right there. That we realize the special work God has destined for us. We use the gifts that he has given us to make the church look like that. So why? That the whole body would be healthy and growing. Yeah. Growing. Spiritually, numerically, and full of love. Yeah. That is where we need to be. And if you do not want to discover your spiritual gift, and you just want to come here on a Sunday morning and sit down in the seat for an hour and a half, that's fine. But guess what? This thing suffers because you don't want to take responsibility for what God has placed in you. I know that's hard to hear. But it's true, because if you're not here and you're not discovering your gifts, this lacks. We lack. We are not as healthy as we could be if people are just going to come and hang for an hour and a half. And I understand, you know, people, you know, there's seasons for everything. I get that. But at some point in our walk, we need to figure out, Lord, what are you calling me to? What am I gifted in? And give me the ability to do it in the church. Amen. This is what Tom Wright says about spiritual gifts. He says, God naturally gives gifts to different people in such a way that the church will be bonded together in ways that God sees appropriate.